Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6, Wheels Car of the Year, and Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Welcome to Sports Day. Our number is 133-882 if you would like to join us at any time. And there is so much to talk about. We've got some great guests coming your way. We're going to have a chat to a very, very special guest after our break, which we're going to take early tonight. Ryan Campbell, Mark Reddings, is going to join us. A bloke that we, a couple of weeks ago, back on about the 18th of April, we didn't think we might ever speak to again.
Yeah, it was pretty tough to read the text that I received going back a few weeks now, but we've stayed in regular touch with him and through Rob Baker, one of his great mates here in Perth. And the good news is that Cambo's up and about heading home tonight, and we're going to chat with him about what the next stage of his life is and also what he's just been through and what he recalls of a bizarre 7 days of his life where, of course, his wife, his family, his friends were so concerned about his well-being. So looking forward to speaking to Ryan Campbell, but also talking a fair bit of footy tonight because there's still a bit of heat in the kitchen at the West Coast Eagles.
No doubt about that. So let's get straight into some of the news headlines. That certainly made headlines, Ryan Campbell, when he suffered cardiac arrest. Australia's number one selling side-by-side brand, Polaris, bring you our news headlines. Elliot Yeo has now entered H&S protocols. Mate, that bloke can't take a trick, can he, Skeet?
No, I wouldn't like to be going to the casino with him anytime soon, Yoey. God bless him. But no, he's been concussed a few weeks ago against Port Adelaide. And then, of course, he's had his groin issues of last year. It's been just a horror run. And isn't it funny that people start questioning the bulk that Yoey carries and his fitness and conditioning, all that sort of stuff comes into focus. But, yeah, lots of questions directed at the West Coast Eagles at the moment. But Elliot Yeo to miss this week. No Luke Shuey as well. And we're talking about who goes on next year, who doesn't. Is there any chance that Luke Shuey, given his soft tissue injuries, I mean, more likely than not he'll play on. I mean, he's still young enough to do so, but is his body starting to give him the message, Carl?
Yeah, well, it does. It does that to you, Skeet. I was a little bit younger myself. I think Elliot Yeo's in the same boat, to be perfectly honest. I mean, these guys have toiled away hard, been wonderful players for the football club. They've served their purpose, let's be perfectly honest. You know, they are premiership players, and they have really achieved what they set out to do as young people, and that is what the mantra is always to do, is to get that premiership medal. It's one thing that I feel very sorry about for, say, Andrew Gaff and Nick Natanui and Brad Shepherd, who sadly had to pull the pin before the season even got underway. But I think there's no doubt that West Coast will be talking about each of these scenarios. I think Nick Natanui's definitely in the same boat. You know, you can't expect that at his age to miss another 12 weeks with... Yeah, you know, I know the damage that has already been done to Nick's knees, and I know that he's been, you know, some of the things that he goes through to get himself up to play week in, week out. I mean, some of the treatment he's having on his knee now is what I'm having done to mine, and I'm 54 years of age. And I'm just wanting to get out and do some regular exercise, Skeet. So, you know, that's the sort of scenario that some of these guys go through, which people don't see. And look, then you've got the decision around, you know, some of the younger players who have been there, particularly those guys that are sort of 4 and 5 years in, who haven't established themselves a regular spot in that team. And I think they're the guys right now that need to pull their finger out between now and the end of the year. They're going to get some opportunity, and it's those players that are going to decide their fate. And really, it's up to you, mate. I mean, you can't let a coach or a teammate or anyone else decide your future for you. It's got to be done by yourself. And that challenge comes at training. You have to out-train your teammates. You have to beat your teammates. You then have to beat your opponents. And that's what it's all about. And it's not easy to do.
Not true. Although, look, the calls for the players to step aside, be sacked, be traded, it has to be a cool, calm response to what the club's going through, because you can't just clean out the list from the oldest to the youngest. There has to be a measured approach to this, which, of course, we know the Eagles will go through that. In fact, they're probably well advanced in that department already. So it remains to be seen what they do with it. But at the end of the day, you're right, some big decisions will be made and some careers will end. And be they young or be they old players, they will know in the next few weeks, I'd imagine, that the time is just about run out.
Let's put into perspective what happened at the nightclub, right? So the West Coast players have been fined $2,500.
Yep.
Four of the seven players had already contracted COVID. Dixon, Rotham, Waterman and Naish had already contracted COVID. Chesser believes that he's had it, but that was prior to coming back to the West Coast Eagles. So Baz O'Nelson contracted COVID. Now, whether they got it at the nightclub again is debatable. There was half a dozen prominent Richmond players there also. So so this is the scenario. So the West Coast players, more than half had contracted COVID. They cop a $2,500 fine, $5,000, reduced to $2,500. People are calling for their heads to be cut off, that they should be suspended. Well, what about the half a dozen Richmond players who have the same job, who are in the same place, and have no issue? Everyone's throwing stones from outside Australia. I mean, the likes of Jared Waitley and everybody else. I mean, where's that coming from?
No, but look, I'll try and put in perspective, without knowing what Richmond's situation was, I get the feeling that, obviously, I think it was Nathan Broad's Bucks party.
It was his Bucks show.
Okay. So how are you to know that he and the other players who went didn't say to the club, look, we're going to go out for a few beers tonight, and the club's ticked it off? Bear in mind, Victoria and Victorians are in a different position with COVID than what we are at the moment. They've been through
Dixon, Rotham, Waterman and Nash are all in the same place. They'd already had COVID, like players.
I'm talking to you about Richmond. You said, how come Richmond's getting away scot-free? Well, maybe they were given the tick to go and have a night out on the town. We don't know that.
You reckon?
Well, I don't know. If there hasn't been an issue from Richmond's point of view, then clearly the club had no problem with them going out for a beer.
Anyway, let's go to the phones. I just thought I'd throw it out there. 133-882, hot topic. Thanks to Dardanup Butchering Company's Taste, Dardanup Valley Spring Lamb. I mean, my point I'm trying to make here, West Coast have had to react because of the external pressure, because it's been relentless because of where they are.
And they still got whacked by the Players Association, still gave them a clip over the ear as well. So whichever way they went, Carl, the West Coast Eagles were going to get pillared because of either not giving any discipline or giving them a fine. They were in a no-win situation, in my view.
Correct. Let's go to Matt in Wembley Downs. G'day, Matt.
G'day, Carlo. Scoot. Mate, you're a bit heated there between the two brothers on there tonight.
No, we love each other.
You want me to run some gloves in there? Love it. I've just got to sort of ask Carl a question, if I can, and then I'll leave. I'll jump off. You can answer it. Carl, how would have this nightclub fiasco washed back in the Malthouse days? And one other thing, can somebody please at the club tell young Jackie Waterman, don't wait for the ball to come to you, mate, when you mark it. Run onto the ball to mark it. And I'm going to leave you with that. Thank you, boys.
Well, in the Malthouse days, Mick didn't drink. And so there was always parameters. And look, our incentive was to win and we were allowed to have a drink. So it might seem simple, but it was something that I think, particularly on away trips, was an incentive for us, Skeet.
Mm.
Now, there were players, including me, that got into trouble, Matt, going out to nightclubs. And we were disciplined for it. We copped fines, the same as what the current players had. But we actually, in certain circumstances, got into trouble. These guys haven't done anything wrong other than go to a nightclub. They had the number of days break. The only thing is that because of the tender scenario around COVID and the number of players available, that's why it's been a careless choice. Now, I think each and every one of them accept that part of responsibility. Could have the club been more clear on where crowded places were?
Possibly.
That's probably the only thing.
Yeah, and look, the other thing is, Carl, look, and you and I have discussed this off air. Young blokes, they need an outlet, whether they are professional athletes or not. I guess it's just the choice. And I know whether it's going over to a mate's place and having those beers in that situation is probably the smarter thing to do in this circumstance. They've gone to a nightclub. As you say, time to move on. The questions of being fined or not, it's been made the decision. And I'm sure the players feel bad about it. They're not happy about it. But the Eagles have made their choice, and the Players Association have had their say. Footy fans get their say now as well, as we go to Nick and Yokon.
Yeah, Carlos, Mark, good day, guys. Good to see the boys wrapping it at the Hippie Club. Used to do a lot of good work there on a Wednesday night back in the day, so good to see they're holding up their end. This is a bit of a weird one. It's more actually about the premiership medals when I heard you guys mention that. New AFL commissioners coming in. You see in the NBA where players have played for like half a season and they get the championship ring. You see Premier League sort of similar where they've got a minimum amount of games. What do you think about sort of I guess giving guys medals who have contributed for the whole season, but just not being able to get there in the final week, is that something that could be considered down the track and maybe retrospectively doing that? I'll hang up and let you guys have your take.
Well, let me just throw this at you, Carl. Not that this is going to happen, but if the West Coast Eagles had somehow managed to be 7-1 and had gone through 40 players already on their list, how would it be grand final day trying to give out all the medals if they managed to win the premiership? I don't agree with it. I think if you play on the day, you deserve to accept a medal. If you don't, as we saw quite sadly with Brad Shepherd, Andrew Gaff and Nick Natanui, they had to watch. And in some ways, I don't think the players would even want to receive a medal. You might think differently.
No, I'm with you. I think that Nick said played most of the season, so you know, one or two games wouldn't cut it. But I think for most of the season, if you get injured in round 22, miss out on one game, and that's the grand final, I think it's pretty stiff. But I'm not of that view. I think it's been something that has been steeped in the game's history. And whilst Natanui and of course Gaff and Shepherd that particular season I was talking about, Nick, played their part, in the end they weren't there on the big day. So unfortunately, from my perspective, you miss out. Thanks for your call. Look, we'll keep Jeff until after the break because we've got to get to Ryan Campbell. He's overseas and we will have a yak to him straight after the break. If something's big for you, then please call through. Our hot topic, thanks to the Dardanup Butchering Company's Taste of the Beautiful, Dardanup Valley Spring Lamb. Back soon.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels Car of the Year. And Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Welcome back to Sports Day. And our number is 133-882 if you would like to join us at any time here on the program. And I'm so glad that we are joined by this man. His name is Ryan Campbell. We heard his story some time ago now after suffering a massive heart attack playing down the park with his kids. And it's nice to be talking to you, Cambo, here on Sports Day. How are you, mate?
Hey, thanks, guys. It's nice to be actually talking to you guys. All good here. You know, been through the ringer a little bit, but, you know, feeling really good now. And the doctors are pretty confident of what they found and what we can do. And, you know, they've given me a clean bill of health, which is what we're after.
Cambo, what happened to your knowledge?
I have no idea, mate. I have no recollection of the 7 days that transpired, but obviously my wife was there the whole time and, you know, she basically said that I was at the playground with the kids and Emily wanted to go on a slide and I took her up there and then basically just decided I needed to lie down. And, you know, from there I was lucky enough that I actually put my head on the daughter of the lady that decided that gave me CPR and saved my life. So that was a bit of luck, that's for sure.
Okay. Now, I spoke to your mate Rob Baker, would have been 3 or 4 weeks ago now, and he mentioned to me that you'd had 4 or 5 heart attacks in hospital. And at that point, I've got to be honest with you, my friend, I wasn't, and a lot of people weren't overly optimistic about your future. But what was it, electrical? Was it something that was due to your ill health or previous condition? Just have you got any explanation?
Mate, you know, you guys have known me. I'm pretty fit and healthy and still very active. So that's, you know, I guess when I sit in the ICU ward and the cardiac ward and look at, you know, some of the specimens of human life in there, I was thinking, geez, don't know how this has happened to me. But, look, it's just something that came out of the blue that they can't really rule out. The issue that I had with, you know, COVID, and also had a pretty bad chest infection in November, and that may have all caused something, some part of it. But the good news is, and I know you mentioned the word heart attack, but it definitely wasn't a heart attack, which is the main thing, which, you know, obviously can cause all sorts of damage. But yeah, basically for the next 4 to 5 days, my heart was sort of going all over the shop. And you know, they just tried to calm it all down and keep me sedated. And eventually that happened. And, you know, when it was time to come back, they woke me up and here I am.
So if it wasn't a heart attack, what did they tell you it was? What was the thing that caused you to lay down?
Well, they say it's a cardiac arrest. And again, I'm probably like everyone else. I don't know the difference between, you know, I didn't know the difference between a cardiac arrest and a heart attack. You just think, oh, well, he's got something wrong with his heart. It must be a heart attack. But, you know, they were very clear that, you know, there's different sorts of things that can happen, and a heart attack can cause irreparable damage, whereas cardiac arrest is just kind of the heart stops
just
a little
stops
bit,
beating.
But also it just beats out of rhythm, which is, you know, something that happened to me. And, you know, like I say, hopefully everything else is good.
Because, look, I believe that with cardiac arrest, it's when your heart stops beating suddenly, and then you have a lack of blood flow to the brain, which obviously was the major issue that we were talking about whilst you were laying in hospital there. I think around the 18th of April, Cambo, is when this has occurred. So it's now the 10th of May. So from that front, obviously everything was A-OK, because you seem to have gotten away with any of the other issues that might be associated with cardiac arrest.
Yeah, mate. Look, I'm obviously, once the dust has settled, you know, you realise how lucky you were. And, you know, like I say, my wife, who was an absolute trooper, she went through 7 days of hell. And she's probably the one that needs the Medal of Honour out of all this, because, like I say, I can't remember any of those 7 days. So, you know, I've just gone through the recuperation afterwards, and, you know, like I say, the cardiac cardiologist, he's extremely happy with how I'm looking, and he kind of scratched his head a few times. But, you know, as long as you have the confidence of those sort of people saying, you know what, you're all okay, you know, makes me feel good. And look, I'll leave the UK tonight. You know, my family, we're going to catch the ferry back to the Netherlands, get the kids back to school, and hopefully get back to a bit of normality in life.
Yeah, Cam, I'm told that when someone goes through something like you have, you can be quite emotional when you're going through a recovery. Was that the case with you? And, of course, it comes just off the back of the loss of Shane Warne, and lots of guys, perhaps a little bit older than you, but in my bracket and Carl's bracket in their 50s, they think, gee, we've got to go checked here. We need to look after our health. So, look, the fact that you've survived is the main thing, but it also hopefully reinforces what we have to do as blokes to check on our health more regularly.
Yeah. The two things I'd say out of all this is, please, I know we've all got busy lives, but please make time to get checked by your GP and make sure that your health is all in order. And the other thing is, if you do have a time to do a first aid kit course, please do it, because, you know, you could be someone who saves a life. And that's, you know, I was lucky enough, you talk about emotional, you know, I was lucky enough to have lunch yesterday with Becky Bassett, who actually gave me the CPR and kept me alive. And, you know, the funny thing is, she was very emotional and my wife was very emotional, whereas I was, because I can't remember it, I was sort of, you know, I was obviously very gracious and can't believe how what a job she's done to, you know, keep me alive. But, you know, like I say, the emotion is just starting to kick in, I guess, because my wife is sort of filling me in on all the details of those 7 days. And you start to think, geez, that didn't sound good. But, yeah, you know, like I say, I'm very thankful for where I'm at. And hopefully we can go forward.
And speaking of going forward, that was my next question. Your cricket coaching, are you able to resume that in some capacity? And B, I know there's been talk, and as I said, I've spoken to Rob Baker and others that have said, and you've said it yourself last time you spoke to us, you'd like to get back to Australia. You came back to Perth recently. Is that still on the radar?
Look, obviously, I'll be getting back to work at some point. You know, the Dutch have a massive summer ahead. I think you've got the West Indies, England, Pakistan, and also the T20 qualifiers for, you know, for the Australian T20 World Cup. So, you know, we've got lots of cricket on, which, again, I hope to be back in, you know, some capacity, if not full capacity, within, you know, within a month. But that'll all be play it by ear, so to speak. But look, at the end of the day, mate, I love coaching and I think I'm pretty good at it. And, you know, hopefully if something leads my way, then we'll take it on. But right now I'm just, you know, worried about the Dutch and making sure that we achieve everything that we're trying to achieve.
Great to hear your voice, mate. Thank you very much for sharing your story with us here on Sports Day tonight. Good luck in your endeavours over there with the Dutch cricket team, mate, and we'll have a chat to you in the future.
And don't do it again.
No. Yeah, no worries, guys. I'll be trying to avoid it. Don't worry about that, Reno.
Good on you. Ryan Campbell here on Sports Day. Great to have a yak for him, and probably timely too, that given our sports updates are thanks to Pharmacy Sleep Services. Always tired? Visit your local pharmacy and get yourself tested for sleep apnea skeet. Another bloke who, look, had a heart attack not that long ago, who thankfully survived, is Darren Lehman. He's another one that in his early 50s, he suffered that not that long ago too.
Yeah, I think he was 50 on the dot. And so, yeah, he's learned a lesson. I think he's given up the cigarettes and leading a healthier lifestyle. Yeah, what I can say is I've mentioned to a couple of my friends. I know that you've probably done the same. And the Shane Warne death and the Cambo situation, it just brings into sharper focus about our health and the fact that we need to be more vigilant.
Yeah, well, I've always been pretty fastidious about it, I must say, because given what we had to go through at West Coast at the start of a season, you go through a full medical. So I've pretty much continued that on my whole life so that, you know, there's no use getting your car serviced all the time and keep your car running, Skeet, if you're not fit enough to drive it, well, right? Makes sense to get yourself serviced, doesn't it?
I've got it, and having worked with you for the past 2 years, specifically during COVID, I've realised that you are particularly fastidious. So I might see you between now and 2024 at some stage face-to-face, given the limitations with COVID contacts COVID. And protocols, etc. But yeah, you're far more fastidious than I am, and probably wisely so.
Yeah, dare I say it might be just happening again, Skeet, but I'll let you know that tomorrow. Let's get into the dig. Dial before you dig. The first essential step. We'll be back to take your digs, get into the talk back, 1-3-8-82. If you just want to talk about what we just chatted to Ryan Campbell about, you're more than welcome here on Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels Car of the Year. And Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
All right, to the calls we go. 1-3-8-82. Got quite a few SMSs too. 0487-999-882 is that number. Thanks to Dial Before You Dig, the first essential step. Don't dig yourself into a hole. Lodge a free Dial Before You Dig inquiry as we go to Corey in Meadow Springs first. G'day, Corey.
G'day, guys. So great to hear Cambo on the line and sounding so well. That was always that's a bit of an uplifting story to begin with. But one thing that I'm getting more and more frustrated with sports organisations is the disproportionate virtue signalling, is what I'm going to call it, of them trying to do or be seen to be doing more than what they need to do. And to me, it started with the sandpaper gate back in, I know it's a long time ago, but I know as Australians we took, you know, cheating really hard. But then you look at the South Africans and the English, they're just sitting there going, what's the big deal, fellas? You know, we've done this before, but the punishment that we meted out to our own players was disproportionate to the same people that were doing it for other countries. And I see that with the Eagles now, that exactly what Carl was saying, the punishment to our players are disproportionate to Richmond. Now, we understand that there could be different scenarios. And yeah, if you're struggling as a sports franchise, as a player, you'd hope that they would go, you know what, we're not doing the best. This might not be the best look for us. Let's make sure we do everything we can. But that's not up to the organisations to punish them. That's up to the players to have some respect for their colleagues and their teammates and their clubs to say, hang on, we shouldn't be doing this. But I think trying to punish them extraordinarily is just not the right way to go about it.
Yeah, look, Corey, I totally agree with the cricket analogy, and I was staggered that, it was a real pile-on in that case. Going back to this one now, Corey, I'll ask you this, and I'll ask Carl again the question. If you are the West Coast Eagles, what punishment, if any, do you give to the seven players that were there? Or you just say, no worries, move on?
I think it'd be, for me, there is no punishment necessary because they didn't do anything illegal. So did they go outside their protocols for COVID? No, because they're allowed to go there. Does it look bad? Yes. But should it be punishable? No. So I think, you know, when they look at it and going, well, hang on, these are things that the players should be brought up to them and say, hey, guys, this isn't a good look. We can't punish you for it because they wouldn't punish anybody else for it. I can go out and go to a nightclub, but if my boss saw me coming to work the next day drunk as a skunk, then that's a bit of a different thing the next day. As long as their work performance is okay and it's not related to them going out on the town, then there shouldn't be any punishment for them.
I suppose the what they're saying, Corey, is that they're putting themselves in jeopardy in catching COVID. Look, but your argument is sound, and I get it. I just think that the Eagles, and you're probably right, they were pushed and pushed to do something. If they hadn't done anything, I can tell you, there would have been another pile on in terms of this footy club just going soft on their players. I know, it would have happened.
Well, boys, how about this one? I've just got an SMS from Grant. He says, hey, guys, if they all went to a crowded church instead of a nightclub, do you reckon it would be different?
Excellent point.
You know, what's the difference? There isn't any. Because, as Corey just said, they didn't break any rules. They had the number of days break required. They weren't instructed to specifically not go to a nightclub. It was just avoid crowded places. Now, that can include a shopping centre. So this is where I'm a little bit sort of, you know, confused. And I reckon the players would be a little bit upset. I know that the teammates aren't necessarily, you know, I've heard people portraying in the media that they've got to earn back respect from their teammates. No, they don't, because they haven't done anything wrong. So, you know, we can keep on going around in circles, but I think that we're better off just leave it there and try to move on. Although it's difficult. G'day, Neil.
Hey, good afternoon, fellas.
Good evening.
What I was going to say is the Freo Footy Club, I've heard a lot over the last few weeks about different commentators on different platforms asking the questions, are they the real deal? Well, over the next couple of weeks, or not the weekend after next and the one after that, we play Melbourne and Brisbane. And in my opinion, that we're going to find out exactly where we stand, as long as we can field a full side. I think they're going to be two good games. And also, just watching on the weekend, I was trying to work out when Fifey comes back. Mate, you look at players like Brody, you wouldn't drop him. You wouldn't drop Mundy. You wouldn't drop Sarong. And you wouldn't drop young Brayshaw. And I think the only sacrificial lamb might be Tucker to fit him in the side. But, mate, that's going to be interesting. And what do you guys think?
It's a good position to be in, Carl. And look, I think a lot of talk about Nat Fyfe doing a bit what Dustin Martin did at the weekend in his comeback game, and that's playing primarily forward, which I think's a viable option. And particularly if he hasn't played a lot of footy, it'd make a lot of defenders nervous, and the opposition clubs would put a very good defender on him. And I think that's certainly something that Justin Longmuir would consider. I know that he's a dual Brownlow medalist. He's a midfielder by trade, but I would have no issue seeing him spend at least 50-50 forward and midfield when he comes back into the side. But that will still be a few weeks away, I would have thought, Carl.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I got an interesting SMS, Skeet, and there's a number of those. Couple being very facetious, saying, did I stick up for my mate Louis when I got into trouble at the nightclub? Who wouldn't want to punch you, Carl, when you're going out? Yeah, they're probably people around my age. Yeah, you're right. Like, there's no doubt that those fluoro lights, which most nightclubs had back in those days, did make my head stand out and make you want to punch it more. But hopefully that's the lighter side. Skeet, this one is serious, right? So Patrick has sent in this to us. He says, Carl and Mark, I realise how hard it must be to sometimes find a new angle to discuss. Well, yeah, you and I talk about this all the time. But one stat I found interesting this week is that neither of the top two teams, Melbourne and Fremantle, have a player inside the top 20 of the Coleman medal. It poses the question about the value of a single key spearhead compared to the very best teams who seem to have a far broader spread of goal kickers. I thought it might be an interesting conversation given the peculiarity of the stat. I really enjoy your show and best wishes for the week ahead. Well, there's one player that's inside the top 20 from both of those clubs. Who is it?
From Melbourne and Fremantle. Well, given what you've said, I'm going to guess a midfielder?
No.
Okay.
Not a midfielder.
Okay.
Plays for Melbourne.
Yeah.
This bloke plays for Melbourne. Not a midfielder.
Max Gawn.
No.
Okay.
It's Bailey Fritz. Bailey Fritz, right? Now, he's at number 18. But then you've got Ben Brown, who's kicked 16 goals. Then you've got Ben Brown, who's at 31. He's kicked 13. The two leading goal kickers for Freo are Rory Lobb and Lachie Schultz. They've kicked 12. Sammy Switzkowski, who won't be playing this week, I think, due to concussion, has 10. Michael Frederick rounds out the only other player in the top 50 in the competition, along with Cozzy Pickett, with 9. How's that?
Good stat, though. So, really good stat. Yeah, really good. Well picked out by your respondent there. So, no, I'm impressed by that, and we'll keep an eye on that because Melbourne and Fremantle obviously getting an even spread of goals. So I might have a quick dig, if that's okay, Carl. Is that okay?
Yeah, go for your life.
Thanks
to
Dial before you dig.
Do you?
No, not at all. In fact, it is to do with the West Coast Eagles, and it's a journalist I respect, but Ben Harvey has put something out, and I've looked at it online. It's about Trevor Nisbet and the West Coast Eagles, and specifically having a go at Trevor Nisbet, saying he should step down, hang up his boots. And he's quoted as saying, if Putin presses the button, the only thing left alive will be cockroaches and Trevor Nisbet. He said on his up late online piece, this guy has more lives than any executive in modern Australian history. He then goes on to point out some of the issues that beset the club over the years. And he's basically said, he's been CEO for 22 years. Modern corporate governance doesn't tolerate that type of tenure for a clean skin, let alone someone who has as much baggage as you. Now, everyone's entitled to their opinion. I appreciate that. But the piece itself was far from balanced. In fact, nothing was mentioned about the positives that Trevor Nisbet, and I guess I have to declare, I respect him and I regard him as a friend. And so on that basis, and I think you would say the same thing, that what he has done for the club and every AFL club would regard him as one of the best executives in the competition, one of the best chief executives the competition has got. Whether it be membership, whether it be finances, whether it be flags, on one issue, he has stood the test of time and done it really well. Yes, there have been some issues. If you're including the hippie club in that raft of issues the club has had, then spare me. The big issue, of course, the big problem they had was back 2006, 2007. And yes, there were questions rightfully asked about the leadership at the West Coast Eagles with the culture, the toxic environment that was produced. And we all know about that. But to suggest that because, what, the hippie club stories come out or the team is on the bottom of the table, that one of the best executives has to step aside, I mean, spare me. Ben, really good journalist, but maybe stick to reporting on bikies.
Well, last night I was referred to as a sycophant after our discussion with Trevor Nisbet. So maybe you could be tarred with the same brush after that one.
Well, possibly.
But you know, the one thing that I agree with is that Trevor Nisbet is a very, very good administrator. And he was a person that I first met as a 15-year-old. And at that point, he was essentially out looking for talent at the Subiaco Football Club. He worked very hard there as an administrator. He got his opportunity at West Coast as a football manager and then essentially climbed the ranks into the role that he's held at West Coast for a long time. Now, it's not his fault that there was lying, drug-taking players back in the mid to, you know, early or mid-2000s. At the end of the day, you can only sit them down so long. You can test them as much as you like. They were going through drug testing regimes by the AFL, and the AFL couldn't catch them. None of the Eagles players through that time tested positive to the point where they got kicked out of the game. You know, so in the end, it was a very, very difficult time, and I feel for administrators because there was only so much that they could do at that particular time. And as for this scenario, I mean, really?
That's where I'm having my dig, Carl, because, as I said, I respect Ben, but I'm not sure if he knows how to get to Mineral Resources Park or he spent some time in the office and he's entitled to his opinion. But if you do know the guy and you know what he's achieved and you know what he's contributed, then to do a piece where it essentially brings his achievements in football to three or four lists that include misdemeanours and assaults from players. I mean, really, is that the best you've got? No, that's my dig. Thank you.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels car of the year. And Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Short little segue here because we've been talking far too much. Sports update, thanks to Century 21, Skeet. Selling or renting, century21.com.au. Elliot Yeo has COVID. We need to say that. We've got Paul Gallen coming your way after the news. It's fast approaching, not too far away. Of course, he's going to be fighting tomorrow night for a Australasian heavyweight title, which would be good.
Absolutely. And just on footy, going back to that AFLW. Now, the Fremantle Dockers have been hit a bit here. Steph Kane, we know, has left to go to Essendon. And then Gemma Houghton at Port Adelaide. She had the shirt on at the press conference today. So the Fremantle Dockers, after going deep into the finals again, lose a couple of important players, and the Antonios are yet, I believe, to sign contracts. That's not to say they will, but there's a bit of uncertainty in the AFLW at the moment because they're not quite sure when the season's going to begin. And I must admit, there's a bit of confusion as to the recruiting laws or eligibility of players to be recruited, how it's all set up. But, yeah, unfortunately at this stage, the Fremantle Dockers are one club that have lost a couple. And you can't blame Gemma Houghton if she's going for more money and also to play alongside Erin Phillips. That must be a lure for her as well. But she's one of the gun forwards of the competition and she's decided to head across to Adelaide.
Now, there are a couple of other SMSs here. Going back to the earlier conversation, boys, Shuey, Yeo and Hearn and Kennedy must retire. It's a measured decision that needs to be made, and it should have happened 18 months earlier. 18 months earlier.
Wow. I'm not sure, Elliot Yeo. I mean, the question with Yeo and Shuey is clearly just their bodies. Now, if their bodies are fine, then they have at least 2 years left, I would have thought. But if not, then the question is rightfully asked.
Absolutely. Hey, boys, I find it a strange analogy that someone going out as a professional footballer to party in a time when their team is doing it really tough as against someone going to church and praying. Maybe the Eagles players should have gone to church given their recent performances. As an Eagles supporter, I'm disgusted. Cheers, Trev. The point being made, Trev, is that if they went to a crowded church and all got COVID, is it the same thing? That was the analogy we were trying to draw. Hopefully that makes sense. I think it makes sense, Scoot. But
I'll tell you there's not too many winners out of this, but I can tell you one winner out of this whole big four or five days of publicity. One huge winner. The boys who own the Hippie Club have never had as much free publicity as they have over the past since Friday.
They didn't need it either. I mean, you know, we've been going there for years. Hey, Just on the other point that Patrick made around the Melbourne and Fremantle football clubs.
Yes.
The great part about each of them is that they've been able to seriously spread the load. I mean, that's been the bit that's helped them get to where they have right now. So that's going to be the thing. We need to get to a break. Back soon.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels Car of the Year. And Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Thanks to Century 21, selling or renting century21.com.au. Elliot Yeo has COVID. Alex Dimanua is going to be in action tomorrow night. Tommy Paul, he'll take on the American. We've also got plenty of other girls in action. Tom Lanovich, Saville. Inglis and Hon also taking their place throughout the course of the night. After the news that's coming out next, though, we're going to have a chat to the rising star in Heath Chapman. He was announced that for round 8 of AFL, so looking forward to that. Looking forward to having a chat to Paul Gallen, along with Sam Collins from the Gold Coast, too. We'll find out exactly whether we'll see young Noah Anderson back, who's a wonderful player. Back soon.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels Car of the Year. And Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Nice to have this man on the radio. His name is Heath Chapman. He's from the Fremantle Dockers and he is the Round 8 AFL rising star. I say about time. Heath, welcome to the program, mate. How are you going?
Thanks for having me on, boys. I'm well, thanks. I'm going well.
I was a big advocate for you in round one. I thought you might have got a chance with that famous spoil, which helped your team get the chocolates narrowly, thinking back to round one. Do you remember it?
Yes, I do still remember that moment.
So a great start to the season, round one, but you got the honour after what you did on Friday night, 25 disposals against North Melbourne. Was that the best game you've played in the AFL?
I'm not too sure on whether it's my best game, but I'm pretty happy with how I performed. And as a whole, we're pretty happy with how the game went and, you know, how we had our structure and played our brand of footy.
What about specifically who helps you as a line coach and what instructions you're given on a weekly basis to improve your game?
So I'm obviously pretty fortunate to have some good mentors in Matt Boyd and Tendai Mazungu. I guess they try to keep the game pretty simple for me and I guess, just tell me to go out there and, you know, give my second and third efforts, which I think really helped me play my best footy.
Now, I've got to ask you an honest question here. Now, you and Youngie both went out with COVID. How'd you go? Because it took you, I think you had 2 weeks off, didn't you, from playing AFL. And how do you feel now? Because people ask me, well, what are the players saying? Well, I'd like to hear it from a player. How are you feeling?
So me and Youngie did miss both the Carlton and Geelong game. On the weekend, I felt fine, to be honest. I think during the game, the adrenaline kind of takes over. I kind of forgot all about how I was feeling. And, yeah, I guess, to be honest, it wasn't too bad, but I still got a bit of a lingering cough and all that. But, no, I don't think it affected me at all.
And you've got, obviously, a number of your teammates that have been affected in the last week, and you had a lot of turnover. Akers, Logue, Meek, Frederick, Lobb and Travis Collier all made way from the team, and they will come back into the mix. All of a sudden, things are looking pretty hot for a spot, Heath.
Yeah, they are. I wouldn't like to be in the selector's shoes, but, you know, our mentality all year has been next man up, and we know whoever they put out in the field, the 22 they put out there, are going to play a good brand of footy and obviously put their best foot forward.
I just wonder whether Sammy Switkowski featured on any of the team videos this week, mate, because one thing that you can do in our game is knee a bloke in the back of the head when you're trying to take a mark.
Yes, well, we definitely noticed some of Switter's efforts. I think specifically his forward pressure and chase, is unmatched, I think, pretty much in the AFL. He really lives out our trademark and, you know, being his best self by, putting his, I guess, obviously best foot forward and, just gives it all every week. Shame to see him go down like that.
Yeah, you're going to miss him, aren't you? I mean, we just reflect back to the start of the season and Champion Data had him rated right up the top when it comes to small forwards in the competition. And because as broadcasters and as analysts of the game, you then start to look at what he does. And there's no doubt, as you've just reflected upon the little things that he does, he's kicking straight too, which is a really good accolade to have, as did Jai Amos in his first game. I tell you what, mate, he's got a lovely left foot on him, hasn't he? I know that Mark Reddings has watched him coming up through the Colts, but he didn't miss on the weekend.
No, he's a very good and reliable set shot, Jai. All the boys were stoked for him when he kicked his first goal. It was a really good moment for him and his family.
Now, I'm trying to work out whether you made the run from half-back to give Jai a bit of a slap across the ears and a high five, or did you maintain your place on your part of the ground?
No, I think we got all other 17 blokes around him. Saw a clip today. All the boys getting around him and really enjoying the moment. Special moment for him that I'm sure he won't forget.
I tell you what, the Gold Coast, it's a tricky trip, not just because they have beaten the Sydney Swans, but up there it's going to be breezy conditions, we believe, bit of rain around. They're a tough side to come up against because we know they've got the talent. They don't always put it on for four quarters, but they're going to really test you this Saturday, you suspect.
We know they're a team that builds their game off the back of their contest, and I think it's going to be hot from the start. It might be a bit slippery, but I think we're just going to have to try and match them in the contest, and keep playing the way we've been playing, and really trust our process.
Thanks for your time, mate. Appreciate it, you having a yak to us tonight, and again, congratulations on your Round 8 Rising Star nomination, Heath.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me on.
Good on you, Heath Chapman from the Frio Dockers, and nice to have a yak to him, Skate.
Yeah, look, I'm trying to work out the Dockers when it comes to their forward line. Matt Tabern is still out, so that means that if Rory Lobb's ready to go, I'm not sure if that is the case or not, but if he's ready to go, who drops out? Because I thought Josh Tracy was really impressive, and Jai Amos, albeit his first game with two goals, you'd like to think he'd get a couple of matches in succession, but interesting to see which way the selectors go with that, because we know that you think Lobb automatically gets a game if he's fit and ready.
Well, we've spoken about during that interview all of the players that are likely to be available, Skeet. And let's get into the injury report. Thanks to SKG Radiology, they care about your welfare and are now bulk billing. Straight into that. Adelaide have only got two injuries there, and that's Seedsman and Rory Sloane. And Paul Seedsman hasn't played a game because of concussion, which is really concerning, and Rory Sloane's season is over. We head up to Brisbane now. There could be a couple of big names back because the big fella in Hipwood is likely to be available. So that could be good news. On the back of, in the last couple of weeks, they've lost Joe Danaher and Dan McStay. So a couple of their key forwards all of a sudden skate a sideline at Brizzy.
Absolutely. And looking more towards our WA clubs, Melbourne coming to town to take on the Eagles on Sunday afternoon. Look, they're in pretty good shape, to be honest with you. Christian Salem's out for another 1 or 2 weeks with a knee injury. Joel Smith, 8 or 9 weeks. Tajwo Woden, the son of Shane, has got concussion out with a test, but he won't be playing, obviously. And we think Max Gawn, some doubt surrounding him, bit of chat about whether he'll make the trip to Perth. But the running premier's in pretty good health, has to be said, heading into this Sunday's fixture against the Eagles.
Yeah, Jack Martin won't play for Carlton. He limped from the field last week. He's listed being out for a couple of weeks. Andrew Phillips might return in the ruck for Essendon. Jordan Ridley, it's yet to be confirmed as to whether he will return after being a late withdrawal due to illness last week. Jake Stringer is still going to be sidelined for another 2 to 3 weeks there. Down at Geelong, Jed Bewes was injured on the weekend, out with concussion, so he will definitely miss a couple of weeks. Sean Higgins and Joel Selwood, both listed as tests. Sean Higgins for general soreness, Skeet, and Joel Selwood has his quad injury. So hopefully those two will return. And Reece Stanley, of course, was a late withdrawal. His replacement in Zach Guthrie was on fire too, but Reece Stanley to have a test on his ankle this week.
Absolutely. Yeah, Collingwood, of course, playing Friday night football against the Bulldogs. Jamie Elliott's still 2 to 3 weeks away. In fact, they don't have anyone who's imminently returning who's been injured for a long period of time. Of course, Brodie Grundy, the worst from big names perspective, is 8 to 10 weeks away. So that's a blow for the Magpies who desperately need him. Of course, they take on the Western Bulldogs who are really just going at the moment. But the good news is it sounds like Marcus Bontempelli might be on his way back. He's a test for this week. Sam Darcy, a test. Tim English, by the way, a hamstring. He's got a test next to his name as well. Lockie Hunter's a TBC. They've got a few on their list, including Alex Keith, who may well return despite having issues with a hamstring.
All right, Sam Collins is going to join us a little bit later on from the Gold Coast, so we'll have a yak to him about a couple of his teammates there. And just lastly from Port Adelaide, Charlie Dixon is back. He played in the SANFL last week, so he's ready and raring to go. Orazio Fantasia might also be available, so a couple of key forwards maybe coming back into that lineup for Port Adelaide. That is our injury report. Thanks to SKG Radiology, they care about your welfare and are now bulk billing Medicare rebatable services across all 20 locations. A bloke who, well, we hope won't need the doctor tomorrow, is Paul Gallen. He'll join us next here on Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels car of the year. And Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Fantastic to have this man on the program, of course. A big fight coming up for the Australasian and Australian heavyweight title. His name is Paul Gallen. He'll be fighting Chris Terzievsky in the big fight tomorrow night. Gal, welcome to the program. How are you going, mate?
Thanks, boys. Yeah, no, I'm pretty good. I had a big day. I've had a long couple of days. Actually, a bit of media yesterday and then obviously a bit of media today and the weigh-in today and travelling up to Newcastle from Sydney is a, you know, a couple of hours, 2.5 hour drive, so a long day. But tomorrow's probably going to be longer, to be honest. So I probably won't fight till 10 o'clock at night, so it's a big day.
Gal, when I saw the weigh-in today, 103.86 kilos for you, and for Chris Terzievsky, 102.26 kilograms. What happens between now and the fight, mate, and how many kilos are you both likely to put on in the lead-up to the fight tomorrow night?
Oh, man, not a lot. We're heavyweight. So heavyweight's basically anyone that weighs over 90.7 kilos is a class of heavyweight. So we're lucky we don't have to worry about our weight or put on or lose weight. So, I just have my dinner as normal. Had a feed this afternoon straight after weighing. And, I just go about my daily routine as normal. And so would Chris. Some of these other guys have to lose, 3, 4, 5 kilos the day of the weighing. So they're the guys who struggle with a little bit. And obviously got to really at times dehydrate themselves, and they probably spend the next 24-36 hours just hydrating and putting that little bit of weight back on. So I know some of the smaller guys put in at least 5 kilos. Some are even a whole lot more. But at heavyweight, you probably generally fight the way you weigh in at.
Now, Gal, we had a chat to you prior to the Justice Hooney fight, and I thought that was going to be your last fight for some reason. Do I remember you saying that or not?
No, not for the Hooney fight. No, I've definitely in a roundabout way spoken about it for this fight, but not the Hooney fight. I was prepared to fight again after the Hooney fight, but this one, look, it may be my last fight. I'm not too sure. I'm not saying I'm going to retire. I have one more fight left on contract for No Limit, and I'd say I probably will do that one, but look, if I was to go out and win it tomorrow night, it would be a hell of a way to go out.
Is it nice to be the trailblazer at the moment in what you're doing? Look, I know that there's some youngsters coming through, but there's no doubt that the youngsters like Harry Garside and like Nikita Zhu, I mean, they're talking about Paul Gallen and what he's done and the mark that you've left on the sport. How does that make you feel?
It's really good. Look, I knew that from when I come into the sport. Now, probably not when I first come into the sport, but certainly in the past 2 or 3 years, it's my job to help promote the sport. I love boxing. I've always loved boxing. And I've known a few fighters over the years. And unfortunately, they don't always get the recognition, or the sport doesn't create the publicity that other sports do. And unfortunately, they don't get the recognition they deserve a lot of the time. And therefore, by not getting the recognition, they don't get the money they deserve or the attention they deserve. So, for me, being involved in the sport brings eyeballs to the sport, brings publicity to the sport, which is what they need. And rather than fighting in front of a league club or an RSL club with 300-400 people there, they get to fight in front of an arena with 2,000-4,000 people there and tens of thousands of people at home. So it's a whole lot better for them. And I'm so glad I've been able to affect boxing in some way in a positive manner.
Now, Paul, you've got a slight weight advantage, but the reach factor. Now, how do you factor that into your tactics tomorrow night?
Yeah, the weight's adversely significant. It's a kilo when you're at 100 odd kilos. Not going to matter too much. But the reach, I've been sparring Jackson Murray, who's a 6'7" southpaw. So, and he has an arm span of 211 centimetres. So I've been able to get to him. Obviously Chris isn't that tall. He's about 6'2 or 6'3. So Jackson's a whole lot taller than him. I've been able to find him and get to him. So I've got no doubt. The pressure I apply and constantly going forward, I'll be able to get to Chris. Look, there's no doubt I'm going to get hit. I understand that. That's part of the boxing. You get hit, you've got to cop shots along the way. You've got to be able to handle them. That's one thing I can do, handle them. And I'm pretty sure I'll be able to handle his shots and then go forward and apply my own pressure and hit him with my shots and hopefully finish him within the 10 rounds.
Just like your footy career, experience gained by time on the field. What about time stepping into the ring? Do you feel you're a more complete fighter than when you started and a little smarter, I suppose, and more savvy with the way you go about bringing down an opponent?
Yeah, without a doubt, experience is everything. I mean, the more you do something, the better you get at it. And I've been able to go from fighting 4 rounds, 5 to 10 round 5 now. So without a doubt, I'm a much more relaxed fighter in there. And, I just know what to do now. I know to keep myself fresh, keep myself fit. And be able to apply that pressure to the opponent. When I can do that, I can hit them more times than they hit me and obviously get the win.
Now, I've normally seen you pretty calm and composed when you're going to take on an opponent. And even in the lead up to this fight, that was until the presser, mate. You weren't happy about your opponent not promoting the fight, which is so important, isn't it? I mean, you talk about what you just have when it comes to putting these youngsters on the big stage and anyone for that matter who wants to, say, take up the sport of boxing, and you felt that he wasn't pulling his weight.
Well, yeah, it's not just this fight. It's the sport in general. I mean, unfortunately, I still cop a bit of criticism off, these expert boxing fans. All the people involved in boxing and people that know me know how hard I work and know what I do for the sport. So it's not really the trainers or the fighters, but these expert boxing fans at times still say I'm no good for the sport. I don't do the right thing by the sport. Well, I do. And then I put bums on seats and I bring eyeballs to the sport. That's what I do. And when you get an actual boxer, someone who's been involved in the sport for a long time and now it's how hard it is to get that publicity and that attention. For him not to do anything to A, promote the fight or promote himself and then to promote the sport on top of that, it was really frustrating for me. So I thought, nah, stuff him. I'm going to walk out of this press conference. He can do all the heavy lifting himself and do the media for himself. And he had to do it and got through it. So yeah, I'm sure he's learning along the way.
Gal, how well prepared are you for this fight? Are you better prepared for this fight than at any other time in your career? How do you feel within yourself?
I'm well prepared. Look, you can't ever have a perfect camp, and nothing ever goes exactly to plan. But I think the good thing about this one is it's been a bit of a shorter preparation. It's only been 5 weeks. So 5 weeks of intense training and getting fit and healthy has been really good. And the most important thing is there's been no injuries. So while everything doesn't always go to plan, you may not get everything you want to get in. When you get a little bit older, as I am, I'm now 40, you do run into a few niggles along the way. But thankfully, I haven't hit any niggles or anything that's kept me from training or stopped me from training for an extended period of time. So that's been the most important thing. And I just got to go out and execute what I've done in training in the fight tomorrow night, and I'll get the win.
And what goes through your head when you're in the boxing ring looking at your opponent? What are you thinking about when you're in there? Obviously, you're trying to knock him out because that's what it's all about, or survive. But aside from that, is there anything else that's going through your mind when you're in that environment?
Oh, it's hard to say. Look, the thing is that, you know, as I've sort of said or mentioned in other interviews, people think I just turn up on the night and jump in the ring and fight. So I don't do that. I prepare for the fight. I spar 2 or 3 times a week. So by doing that, you're accustomed to being in there and you're accustomed to what's coming at you. So when there's a certain punch coming at you, you can realise that and slip one way and throw a punch back. Things sort of become just natural and they come just off the cuff. So that's the way I like to treat my fights. I don't go in there with any sort of major plan to throw a certain punch here or there. I just go in and see what comes at me and just react to it as best I can.
Well, Gal, before we let you go, we know it's you're a rugby league great, and just one short and sharp one. The Sharkies are going okay, Cronulla?
Hey, mate, they're going good. Had a disappointing loss last week against the Brisbane Broncos, who they expected to beat, but then to hit back on the weekend last weekend against the Warriors side when they were down to 12 men after just 18 minutes was a tremendous win. And then in the second half, they got another player sent to the sim in for 10 minutes, and they were down to 11 men for 10 minutes. So to be able to get through that victory for that game with a victory, and I think it was 29 points to 6 or 10 or something. So to be able to pretty much smash the Warriors with 12 men the whole game virtually, then down to 11 for 10 minutes was a massive win for them and should give them a hell of a lot of confidence.
Good luck, mate. Thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Appreciate it. Thanks, boys. See you later.
Good on you. Paul Gallen, who is stepping in to fight for the Australasian and Australian heavyweight title against Chris Terzievski. Skeet, who wins?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I would have thought Gal's giving away a fair bit of reach here, isn't he? He mentioned the weight differential is only a kilo. He's been pretty competitive, hasn't he, Gal? I've liked his style. So given we've spoken to him tonight and he's in our good books, we'll stick with Gal.
Yeah, now I'd like to be tipping Gal, but I think it's going to be a little bit like the Justice Hinnie fight, to be perfectly honest. I think that he is, and probably expecting so. And Terzievski needs to bring his A game to beat Gal because we know how much of a fighter he is. But Chris Terzievski, for me, even if he doesn't knock Gallen out, I think that he'll be fit enough to last the distance. Now, Harry Garside takes on Leighton McFerrin. He's an odds-on favourite to win that fight, as is Nikita Zhu to beat Mason Smith. So looking forward to what is going to be a great night's fighting tomorrow night, and I'm sure all the pubs that put it on around town will be absolutely packed getting behind the cards there. From navigating open roads to wrangling uncharted tracks for 100 years, Repco's been driven by passion. We will have a chat to Sammy Collins next from the Gold Coast. He has been part of their defensive group, and the good part is they had a good win last week against the Sydney Swans. We'll have a chat to Sam next.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels Car of the Year. And Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Nice to have your company. And round to Rise Up, Sun's charity round, driving awareness and raising funds for the profession of domestic and family violence. And I'll tell you what, Sam Collins can tell us all about it. He joins us from the Gold Coast Suns. Of course, they take on the Freo Dockers this weekend. Sammy, welcome to Sports Day. Nice to chat, mate. How are you going?
Yeah, going really well. Thanks for having me on, guys. Great chat.
Before we jump into talking some shop about the footy, big win last week over the Sydney Swans by your club. Tell us about Rise Up, the charity, and I'm sure that you know all about this.
Yeah, it's our major charity partner, Rise Up, and this is the second year where we'll be having the round to Rise Up. So it's a really great initiative. It's a really great charity that, as you said, raises funds to support those who are fleeing from family and domestic violence. And it's a very hands-on charity that we're really happy to be involved with. The boys have been involved for, as I said, I think 9 years now with the Gold Coast Suns. They run a number of programs, including setting up houses and fully furnished and ready to go, so that families who need to leave under those circumstances can go somewhere safe and be able to pick up their lives after fleeing such a circumstance.
Yeah, terrific cause. Rise Up, and I agree. Look, domestic violence, family violence in Australia, it is unfortunately a situation where far too many families are affected by that. Sammy, on a football front, what about the win over the Sydney Swans? They were regarded and still are as potentially a top four side. How do you reflect on what you achieved on the weekend?
Yeah, I think as a playing group and as a club, we're really pleased to get a result. We felt like we've kind of been teetering there without being able to get the win over the last probably month of football. So to be able to get a win against Sydney, who are, as you said, a quality outfit, was a nice shot of confidence for us and just proves that we are heading in the right direction and albeit things to work on, but when we all come to play and we play a competitive brand of football, it really stacks up.
Got to say, one of the great stories of the weekend, Rory Thompson, knee reconstruction after knee reconstruction, almost 4 years on the sidelines, a fellow defender. That victory was as much about welcoming him back to the fold.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Rory's pretty much been injured since the time I've been at the club, so to see him get an AFL game on the weekend and play the way he did and be involved in a win was it was really important for him personally and for the playing group to play good football for him. It definitely hasn't been an easy journey. I'm sure he's had a lot of doubt about whether he'd be able to make it back, but he slotted in seamlessly and as a playing group, we love having Rory around and as I said, it's a great story for football.
We're chatting to Sam Collins from the Gold Coast Suns. Hey, Sammy, just reflecting back to the Brisbane game where you had more inside 50s, you only had two less scoring shots, but you lost by 52 points. You just spoke about your last month. You have been getting the supply, haven't you? It's not like you've been starved of opportunity up forward, have you? It's been an area that you mightn't have got right and you mightn't have been as accurate as others, but you have been getting it in there.
Yeah, we've definitely been supplying our forwards with a bit of ball. It's just about the quality going in and then obviously the ability to defend it on the way coming out. I remember that Brisbane game and we were able to get plenty of supply into the forwards, but, would build a bit of forward pressure and then they'll see us going through the other way. So we've kind of just fine-tuned the forward 50 connection, which has helped us in terms of providing better scoring shots, but we've also just tightened up our system behind the ball, which was exposed in that game. So combined the two and we're able to, as I said, put together a really competitive performance against the Swans and it was good enough to get the win.
Now, you've been up there on the Gold Coast for 4 years. How much have you seen things change and how much change has there been since Stewie Jew took the reins from a direction perspective, I mean here, not as in a personnel perspective, but have you changed your game much in the last four seasons? Can you just explain that to us?
Yeah, I suppose we've definitely changed our profiles, the list, and with that, the game plans evolved a little bit. I think it's kind of just been fine tuning over the last few years, just building on the base that would build on the year before. So I'm not sure that the game plan's changed all too much. I feel like it's just about us as a playing group being able to deliver on what Dewey's trying to implement and the other coaches as well. So I suppose this season, for example, I think that you would see us attacking the game a bit more through the corridor, trying to target territory and things like that. So trying to really build on the offense this year after kind of working on our defense for the last few years. There's been big changes on the Gold Coast here, and we're a club that's we've got a lot of belief, and we just haven't been able to get the scores on the board. Over the start of this season, so we're just fine tuning things at the moment. And as you say, when it comes together, it's a really enjoyable brand of football to watch, and it's definitely great to be a part of.
Now, how's Jack Lukosius, mate? I saw him limp from the field. Is he going to miss this week?
I think Jack was having a scan today or yesterday. I'm not too sure. He obviously adds a lot to us in terms of his ball use when we can get him the ball. So I'm hoping he'll be fit and available this week, but we'll leave that on in the medico's hands and just see how he comes up. But Jack's a really important player for us, so I'm sure they'll do the right thing by him and the club and make sure that when he returns, he's fit and healthy to go.
And what about your old mob Freo, mate? They're flying at the moment. They're playing probably the best... defensive brand, I think, in the game right now. We know that Melbourne are a very attacking team, but Fremantle defensively have been top-notch. And their skill last week, mate, calling the game live from the commentary box was as good as I've ever seen it.
Yeah, look, they're playing some really good football at the moment. They've been very consistent across all their lines and very consistent in all facets of the game. So, it's going to be a real challenge this week coming up against them. As you said, they're in great form at the moment. So, if we can bring our best foot forward and play an attacking brand of football and, as I said, tighten up the defence behind that, then hopefully we'll put up a good challenge against them. But definitely going to be a really important game for us to see how we stand and to stack up our defensive game against theirs, because as you said, it's really flying at the moment and they've got a really strong core of players who are all delivering at the moment, which makes them hard to beat.
Sam, you played 14 games for Freo between 2016 and 2017. You've been quoted as saying that you really look forward to meeting your old club. Is that a case where you look at the start of the season, when is Freo coming to town or where am I going to Perth?
Oh, I don't look too far in advance, but yeah, I do really love this game. It's things obviously didn't work out for me against Freo, but I always do love playing them. That I'm also able to catch up with a few of the guys after the game, only if we win, obviously. But I love playing Freo, and I'm looking forward to playing this week and seeing how we go against them.
Well, speaking of the Gold Coast, a beautiful one day running the next. Just looking at the forecast for the rest of the week, there's plenty of showers and rain, so it could be potentially, although it's a fair way out, could be a bit of a slog on Saturday.
Yeah, I think it might be. We're on the back over with the Ducks today, so it has been raining quite a bit down here for the last few days. But we'll see how it looks. I'm not backing the bomb in just yet. I'll give them till one day before the game to see if I'll be packing in the long screw-ins, that's for sure.
And finally, for me, this team, we know there's been I think the whole competition and footy fans in general want the Gold Coast Suns to succeed. Does it feel like it's closer than when you started, or is it from the outside you have a couple of good matches and then take a step back, or is that maybe just the signs of a young side trying to gain that consistency?
Oh, it's definitely a matter of us, yeah, as you said, finding that consistency. I think that when you look at our list, we're full of hungry players who want to succeed and want to put up competitive football every week. So we definitely have a lot of belief as a team and as a playing group. But, as you said, we just haven't been able to string the wins together. But I also don't think it's too far off, you know. Things aren't always as bad as they seem. Things aren't always as good as they are. So, I think that when it all starts clicking, that we're going to be a really hard side to play against when it all starts clicking. And it is just a matter of when. And as a playing group, we've got strong belief that we're definitely heading in the right direction to play competitive football consistently.
Sammy, just before we let you go, Noah Anderson was laid out last week due to illness, so I'd like to know whether he's coming back, because there could be a few Dockers coming back. Akers, Logue, Meek, Frederick, Lobb and Collier should all be eligible after their health and safety protocols. How's it been at the Gold Coast? Have you gotten through that? Have you all had it? Is it still an issue around your club? How have things been?
Yeah, I suppose we're in a slightly different position to the WA teams. I think, firstly, to answer your question, I believe Noah should be back. He was in at training today, so we'll be looking forward to him coming back into our midfield. In terms of the COVID stuff, I think that a lot of the boys did get it over Christmas. There's probably only a handful of us who haven't had it yet, and we just need to respect that. Player availability is one of the most important things at the moment, so we're just doing what we can to mitigate that risk. And as a playing group, we understand that we need to live our lives with that in the back of our mind. So, slightly different position to WA, but we're just doing our best to make sure that we've got full availability where possible, and that's going to help us play the best football we can when we can put our best team out on the park every week.
Thanks, Sammy. Didn't stop a few blokes going out to the nightclub, though. Thanks for your time.
No worries. Thank you for having me, guys. Cheers.
Good on you, Sam Collins. The round to rise up. The Suns charity round, driving awareness and raising funds for the prevention of domestic and family violence. Nice to have a chat to him. Gold Coast take on the Dockers this Sunday. Bounce down is 11:40 a.m. Western Standard Time, Skeet. And, of course, we'll be playing the boys a little bit later on this weekend for the Toolkit Depot, your ultimate tax time destination.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels Car of the Year. And Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Welcome back to Sports Day for Barra and O'Day. Because the little things are everything, we get into Green to Green with John Slavich, who is the master bowler. Welcome, John. Nice to chat. How are you going?
Going. Thank you. Thanks for having us on board tonight.
Now, the mixed state pairs results, how do they pan out?
Absolutely awesome. 2 days of great play. One of the most rewarding things is it's off-season and Bowls WA still managed to get, I think, 28 sections, 106 teams in. And it was a wonderful two-day event. Weather was beautiful. A lot of clubs had to step up because we didn't have the clubs that are available to host the event. But it went down to the Wire and Leaming Bowling Club, and it was the Kelly family versus up against Justin and Helen Morse in the final. Justin and Helen, just a bit too strong for the final. They end up winning 2-1 and taking out the state mixed pairs title. Justin has also won the state triples as well a bit earlier on in the season, so he's in right contention for the Rosenthal medal, which is the best bowler of the year. So congratulations to both of them.
Yeah, terrific performance. So what about our Internations results there? Internations, and who's playing in that?
You know, Internations has been running since 1979. It's a charitable organisation which has been a contributor between a lot of countries that have been represented in Australia. So there's 8 Internation teams varying from New Zealand, Australia, Croatia, Italy, England, Ireland, the rest of the world, New Zealand. And they come together for 1 weekend of the year to help raise money for charitable organisations. This year was a variety children's organisation, and they managed to raise $12,000 over the weekend for playing the bowls, and obviously a lot of sponsorship and donations were held, and it was New Zealand this year who were fortunate enough to win the Internations Carnival, but most importantly raising $12,500 for Variety Children's of Western Australia. So absolute wonderful achievement, and great to see all the bowlers pulling together to make a lot of money for a great organisation.
Yeah, the old Kiwis getting up, wouldn't they be celebrating that result? 12K, again, what a wonderful result for the charity. What's coming up in the next couple of weeks, Johnny?
Yeah, we've got the 2022 Men's Autumn Carnival Open Split Fours, which is being held at the Goslin's Bowling Club. It's 2 games of fours and 1 game of continuous pairs. $200 per team. Paying all the way down to 6th place, so everyone's going to get some money there. Nominations close on the 11th of May, so if you can get in contact with the Goslin's Bowling Club and get your team in there. And Mount Pleasant have a great comp on in May on the 11th, which is a Wednesday, for a 9:45 start. It's for ladies, gents and mix. It's $140 per team, 3 games, 9 ends. Play to the bell, and all prize money is going back to all the winners. So a great day to be held there if you've got nothing to do on a Wednesday.
Now, I've got to ask you about the Champion of Club Champions Singles, which are going to be played this weekend. I mean, surely you're going to be playing in that.
No, mate. Unfortunately, I didn't quite get to that Champion of Champions stage. I know. Look, it was, I think when we played... For everyone who needs to know, you've got to win your club singles to qualify for the Champion of Champions. I did play in our club singles, but unfortunately, it was a big night on the Saturday night before the Sunday's day play, and I wasn't exactly up to speed on that. So, yeah, look, Gavin Faulkner is a representative for W. There's 56 representatives across the club. It's going to be played over this weekend, 14th and 15th of May. So, look... Sorry I'm not there, but congrats to everyone who is, and go Gav from the W Bowling Club. Hopefully he is the Champion of Champions.
Well, hopefully you have a bit better preparation next time. So 56 men, 42 women. So this is essentially the cream of the crop at each of the clubs around WA. I mean, is this country and metro or just metro? How does that part work?
Look, it's country and metro. All qualifiers from all up and down the West Coast get the opportunity to play in the Champion of Champions. And if you do win it, you get the opportunity to play in the Australian Champion of Champions. And if you're lucky enough to win that one, you get to play in the World Championships, which is generally played anywhere around the world, obviously. And a great stepping stone if you want to get that opportunity to represent Australia.
Brilliant, mate. Thank you very much for your time tonight. Take care, and we will have a chat to you next week.
Thank you.
Good on you, John Slavich there. Green to Green for Baron Day Day. Don't miss out on the little moments because the little things are everything. Skeet, just updating some sport thanks to Century 21. Don't sell with any ordinary real estate agent. Sell with century21.com.au. For those that might have just joined us here late in the program tonight, Elliot Yeo has now succumbed to COVID protocols at West Coast, so he unfortunately has been sidelined. But the interesting story that I found today, Skeet, was for Cricket Australia monitoring the unrest ahead of the Sri Lankan cricket tour. At this point, they remain confident that the tour will go ahead as planned. Their Prime Minister resigned last night. That's following months of protest. The worst economic crisis in Sri Lanka in decades. There was a countrywide curfew that was imposed upon the protesters, because what happened was the government supporters attacked the protesters. The armed troops were deployed in Colombo. It's got really messy there.
Absolutely. We know Australia's got a very hectic schedule coming up, 2023 specifically, but yeah, they've got some overseas tours this year. And Sri Lanka, we know historically there have been some issues on that front. So unfortunately, their cricket is caught up in what could be a position where they don't host as much cricket as they would like. Other international results happening as we speak. The NBA playoffs heating up, and Boston Celtics have come from behind with a big last quarter, 43 points to 28 in the last quarter to defeat the Bucks, 116 to 108. So that series is tied at 2-2 in the East semifinals. And the Warriors, Steph Curry, 32 points as Golden State beat the Memphis Grizzlies 101 to 98. So they are leading that series 3-1, the Golden State Warriors. Tomorrow, it's the 76ers and the Heat and the Dallas Mavericks taking on Phoenix. Both those series tied at 2-2. And closer to home, I suspect, Carl, the Sydney Kings tomorrow night will wrap up the NBL Grand Final series. They lead 2-0 at this stage against the Tasmania Jack Jumpers. Of course, first of three gets it done, and I think that will be the case tomorrow night, the Kings to be the NBL champions. As Scott Morrison forecast quite regularly during the season, that the Kings were the best team in the comp.
Yeah, well, he's right, and he will have to get, hopefully, his team up and about to try and knock them off next year. In the tennis that is going to be unfolding, Alex de Minaur last night had a good victory in Italy. His round of 32 match will be against American Tommy Paul next. In the girls' draw, the WTA events that are being played in Europe, in Italy, Ila Tomljanovic is waiting for her opponent. That will be determined tonight. In France, in the round of 32, we've got Daria Saville taking on Beatrice Haddad. She is the third seed there. Madison Inglis, the WA girl, will take on Diane Parry of France. And in Germany, in a round of 32 clash, we'll also have Priscilla Hahn in action against Clara Burrell from France. So that is going to be some of the action in international sport tonight. So we'll clear a commitment, come back and wrap up the program next here on Sports Day.